This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio.
It's Tuesday, September 22nd. I'm Patrick Johnson in the beautiful downtown studios of the Vancouver Province. It's a casual Tuesday. Steve Ewan is in the house.
A rare.
He's making a return to the downtown environs.
Well,
friendly confines.
It's because I'm going to the Canuck Morning Skate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your new little campaign to do all Canucks game day morning skates, if I'm not mistaken.
Along with all the Lions and all the Giants and all the Canadians and all the Vancouver Stealth.
So when the lights get turned off for the final time, is it going to be you or Mark Weber?
Oh, it'll be me. Weber will be off doing some modeling.
Yeah, is that your yeah.
He'll be doing some pictures in black and white.
Yeah. Perhaps having having some
Weber and Jonathan will be somewhere on.
Well, I was going to say perhaps having some pulled pork or samosa tacos, yes, with Eddie Lack.
Oh, Eddie Lack, good Eddie Lack reference.
There you go.
Who looked very good last night for Carolina?
I didn't see
TSN play of the day with a save on somebody.
I actually did briefly turn the hockey game on last night, mm-hmm, and I turned to my girlfriend after about 2 minutes. I said, I do not care about this at all.
When they've got all the numbers, like the big goofy numbers, that's when you don't watch.
It's something that I think that goes back to when I was young. Like, I would try, you would try to watch it, and my dad's like, "What are you doing? It's exhibition hockey. It's preseason." And I understand that now, yeah, because it's just like, oh. And you know, I think it was Jonathan that had the thing about
Jonathan McDonald
in a morning skate last week talked about the price of preseason hockey.
Where can you find the morning
ProvinceSports.com.
It's a great little feature,
I think. Yeah, it's a good time. You've contributed in the past.
Yes,
we pulled you off that beat because you've got 18 others.
Yes,
but no, it's one of those ones where preseason hockey, I just couldn't deal with it. But you know, I don't know. Are you still? How are you feeling? I mean, we've talked a lot. I think I felt like the last 3 weeks we kind of said the same things. We kept talking about, you know, mm-hmm, because we were waiting for hockey to start, I guess.
Yes.
Are we feeling at all different given, you know, the few bits and pieces we've seen, or is it just kind of?
Oh, I'm not as doom and gloom as maybe some guys are. I think.
Well, you're a happy, upbeat guy who's faced a lot of personal battles.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but I think we can't grade the Bennings and the Lindens and, you know, until we see some kind of real,
yeah,
you know, real bullets flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Granted, it's not. You can see why people are concerned. I still think Prust and Sutter and those guys are going to do wonders for the room.
Yeah.
I buy into chemistry. I think
chemistry is important. I don't think there's any denying that.
I think the bigger question is how much better the rest of the conference.
I guess I come from the standpoint of chemistry is important in the way that you can't have too many you know whats. You know what I mean? You can't have too many assholes. You need guys that play like that on the ice. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of guys getting along and enjoying what they're doing. I mean,
one of the GMs I deal with in the WHL talks about a need for suspendable guys.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yes. Because it takes, you know, there's all kinds of, I mean, they need to be able to play.
It's still a game involving truculence and belligerence and all sorts of Brian Burke words.
Yeah. I think the thing is the word that's a buzzword. I don't know if hockey, it's creeped into hockey yet. I'm sure we'll hear it soon. Mm-hmm. They talk about a lot in soccer. They talk a lot about it in rugby. I have no idea if they would talk about it in football. Mm-hmm. I think they talk about it in football. The term culture. They talk about having a culture in this team.
Yes, yeah, culture's
in the room.
Yeah,
you
hear the
attitude. I guess I don't know.
You hear the Vancouver Giants needing to change their culture.
There you go.
There you go.
I mean, it's a buzzword, but I've asked many people.
How's the province's culture?
I think it's great.
There you go.
Positive spirit.
Yes.
Should have seen Howie last week. Pounding out those stories, happy stressed Howie to the max.
Happy Howie.
But getting it all out. And then they're talking about starting some records podcast. It's just him and Rafe and Adam sitting around pretending they're like doing FM radio in 1976 or something.
Oh,
like that.
My gosh.
I'm a bit terrified. I'm glad I'm leaving for a month. Yes,
you're going to hear a lot of Elton John.
Oh, who knows?
Howie loves his Elton John.
Does he really? That was a nice insider fact. That could be on the quiz later.
There you go.
No, yeah, culture. I don't know. I can get that. There were some guys, obviously, who had.
Well, I think everything. I know Brendan Gallagher a little bit, and he raved about about Prest as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, you assume a Sutter's a Sutter.
Yeah.
And you've always heard lots about them as people. I think they're a harder team to play against now. Mm.
I wonder if it's more important in the sense of, to come back to the buzzword, that if you have young guys coming in, that you can't have too many sourpusses, shall we put it.
Part of the problem,
do you know what I mean?
Part of the problem with this group is they're missing that. They have that Sedin generation.
Yes.
And then they're missing a generation. And then you have the Horvat.
Right.
Virtanen.
Right.
And there's really no bridge group between those two. You know, there's a limited bridge group between those two groups. So the various regimes had failed drafting guys
for an
extended period of time. So
absolutely.
I think that's going to be the challenge is growing Horvat into being the guy and growing Virtanen into being the guy.
And whoever else ends up
and
shakes out. Yeah.
Whatever names you want to throw out there, Hutton.
John Tortorella.
John Tortorella back.
I think I got all the cliches and again, buzzwords.
Yes.
Stiffness.
Yes.
Bite.
Yes.
Now, Eric Rolfson was very excited. He just kept saying, I can't wait for this American hockey team to have more bite.
More bite. Yes.
It just kind of boggles the mind, really. I'm kind of blown away by this choice. I'm not going to lie. I thought this guy was done. I had a feeling that he was going to go to the KHL first and have his sort of moment of realization, like Mike Keenan did, that, yes. Wow, I've been doing this all wrong.
Yes.
But you'll notice Mike Keenan still isn't coaching anywhere. Yes. I mean, I think he's still in the – I don't know if he's even still in the KHL, yes. But I just was kind of shocked that John Tortorella, is it that because he can wander around and do this job for a year?
Maybe that could be it, or he's, you know, the winningest American coach ever, or you know, he's got a Stanley Cup ring. I don't know.
They've had Ron Wilson too many times. They need to switch it up.
I guess after that, I don't know where the next name is. Right. So, hopefully, I mean, he's great for the media.
Yeah.
Right. and I think. There were points early on where I liked what he was doing as far as the aggression and bite and having the D in the play, but they couldn't play at that pace all year.
Yeah,
and you certainly couldn't play two and a half lines and two sets of D like that.
God, what a team to think about. Let's not think about that.
Sorry, Torts.
So USA Hockey, you think they're at risk of having, you know, two lines of players and a bunch of guys really? I mean, that traditionally we've heard, you know, kind of quirky things generally have come out of the USA Hockey dressing room, no matter what tournament they've been in, and for sometimes spectacular reasons.
Yes.
The American hockey players are a funny bunch. Am I casting too big a generalization?
Kind of a sweeping generalization, but I think
that's what we do here.
I think that generation of guys grew up as a group of privilege.
Yeah.
So I think their expectation of their treatment was maybe different than maybe the current.
Right.
There were so few of them for so long.
They were the guys, and that was it.
They were the guys, and when they weren't treated like the guys, they kind of. The Roenix and guys like that kind of lost their
nut. You know, I guess there's enough depth that you can say, you know what, we're not taking Bobby Ryan because, I don't know, we don't like him.
Because we don't like the cut of his jib.
Or whatever.
That may be the first time cut of his jib has ever been said on the Tuesday morning podcast.
Well, I'm glad it was you that did it.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you did it.
Nothing against Bobby Ryan's jib.
The other funny thing, I have to tell you about my buddy James. My buddy James, who has been talked about on the old version of when we were doing the daily podcast.
Yes.
James likes to have a good time.
Okay.
And
unlike the rest of your friends?
Unlike the rest of my friends.
Sorry.
James, former coworker with Ken Priestley.
Okay.
Ex-NHLer Ken Priestley, who now runs the Dunbar Lumber location out in Ladner.
Yeah, Ladner boy, yeah.
Yeah, and former forward for the Buffalo Sabres and Pittsburgh Penguins.
Ken Priestley's sister is married to a buddy of mine.
No, there you go.
There you go.
Ken has really kind things to say about Pierre Maguire.
There you go.
In other words, he doesn't. But from the sounds of things. That was the thing, actually, by the way, I'll come back to James in a second. Thing that most blew me away last Tuesday at the little Province Sports get together. I think you might have left, But I brought up this story from like 1994.
Okay.
After McGuire gets fired from his only season coaching the Hartford Whalers.
Okay.
And basically how the reporter, and I can't remember his name, said this was he had never experienced someone who had basically no one on or off the record go to bat for him.
Yeah.
It was just an astounding season.
Yeah.
And like McGuire would chirp other coaches even like about, I can't believe you're giving me this matchup in games that they were losing badly.
Yes.
Anyway, I mentioned this to Botch and he was like, I've never heard of this.
Oh, really?
And I think he was serious.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes.
Yes, you never know with the Botch.
Anyway, I emailed him. I didn't get any response. I was, you know, one of those ones, but you never know. Anyway. No, James. James tells a story about during the 2010 Olympics partying with Bobby Ryan's dad.
Okay.
And basically
Ryan's dad or James's dad?
Bobby Ryan's dad.
There you go.
Who obviously has a colorful backstory.
Yes.
A bit of a colorful man.
Yes.
And James basically...
Known to authorities. Yes.
And basically the long and the short of it is that they were out having some drinks at some bar downtown.
At an unnamed club.
I don't remember. Yeah. And Bobby Ryan's dad basically gets into an altercation. And James is like, oh my God, they're going to get pumped.
Yes.
And like has to like hustle them out the door and waves a flag or flags a cab, like gets them in the cab, tells everybody just like leave him alone, you know, whatever.
It's Ryan's dad.
He's a crazy old man. Yes. And they drive away and everyone's like, Anyway, Bobby Ryan's dad. So, you know, I can maybe understand why Brian Burke wouldn't like having that element on the team. I don't know. Where were we at? Lions.
I think it's...
What's the latest there, Steve? You're now 2 weeks into it. And
2 weeks into it.
They at least were sort of in the game on... Friday? I've lost track. Friday, yeah.
And Jennings looks like he's got some potential. I mean, maybe that's the way to kind of be grown-ups about it. And
I don't understand that in the first place.
It's such a small... I mean,
that's true.
Such a small league that you win two in a row, you're back in it.
That's true.
So...
It's true,
and I'm sure, any chance at playoff revenue.
Oh my God!
The difference between winning and losing, and losing money,
especially when you are struggling to draw in fans like they are this season.
Yeah, it's not been a real banner year.
No,
obviously for attendance wise, and I get it's interesting because we were throwing around TV numbers, and the TV numbers are still crazy.
Yeah. It's impressive how, and you know, it's interesting.
TSN's done a wonderful job with that and with the World Juniors making it.
Yes. You and I were talking about this, was it last week? And you were kind of wondering, asking me about the Whitecaps crowd, and it was not, a huge crowd. This is the Olympia. I think it was the Olympia crowd. And, there were 15,000 people there. It was a smaller Whitecaps crowd. Mm-hmm. It was a team that didn't have a lot of buzz. I think it was just
midweek games
have always been a struggle for them. Mm-hmm. The Champions League, as much as they try to hype it up, does not have buzz.
Yeah. It's not like Sounders.
But it was in many ways, it was a classic kind of attendance story with the Whitecaps, which is that they have a very solid hardcore. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you about this. I mean, we can see that, when people read stuff online, the traffic online, that, what fascinated me that particular week, especially, was that Sunday disaster football game.
Yeah.
The Willis column, there wasn't a lot of traffic before the game on the stuff that you guys had put together online. I mean, partly, I think, because it was a Sunday morning and it's never that busy. But the Willis column about the train wreck that these Lions are was amazing. It was probably one of the most read Lion stories of the year. Mm-hmm. But then the following day, the buzz was gone again.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of buzz about the Whitecaps, but not really. I mean, people read it. There's kind of, know what it's going to hit, how many people are going to kind of read it. And it's sort of a decent number. But it's, it's still not even compared to Canucks off-season numbers.
Yeah.
And that, in the end, is the truth, is that the Canucks just kind of blow everything out of the water.
Yeah.
And that the Lions, as weird as it is and as strange their demographics may be, they still have a dedicated following that at least keeps casual attention to the team, even if they're losing.
There's number one, and then there's everybody else's.
There's a scrap for interest, and it's sort of Lions... I think I'm still a nose ahead of the Whitecaps.
Yeah.
And then,
Everything else.
Yeah. Occasional UBC football stories from Howie. and my post about the Rugby World Cup schedule. Quickly, though, this story, Ed Willis. Fantastic.
About receiver extraordinaire, the new kind of poster boy for Lions, Chris Serena.
Amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Great tale. Where can you pick it up?
Your newsstand or problemsource.com.
There you go.
Yeah. Great tale.
I think it's a great paper today with the Coos talking about Dorsett and Prust. And
well, he's talking about your boys. That's why you like it.
Weber talking about Robert
Earnshaw.
Earnshaw.
He's a beauty. Lovely guy.
And I think there's a nice little Vancouver Giants story about Dakota Hodges.
You know what? Three stories about some real beauties in the paper today. It's a real human element.
It's elements. A real beauty paper. Yeah. Don't mean to brag.
Did you see PK doing Don Cherry? Did you see the video?
Oh, no. Was it good?
It's good. It's a very short segment, but it's just absolutely, it's to quote, it's nails.
It's nails. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vancouver Giants open their regular season on Friday against your Seattle Thunderbirds.
That seems amazing. I can't believe it. I always forget the WHL starts in September.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be... Vancouver will be without number one prospect Tyler Benson and Thomas Foster, one of their other centers. Benson's moving from the wing to center. So not the ideal start. But
hey, Lauren Mulligan, he's got a plan, I'm sure.
Interesting guy, 17th year in the league. So, he's seen everything. So there's a sense of calm there that hasn't been there for maybe 2 or 3 years. Whether that parlays into some success, because they've got... Seattle's a very good team with or without Matthew Barzal. And then they get Clone on the Sunday. So those are two kind of real kind of hard matchups.
Am I right to think Seattle's going to get Barzal back?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The 16th overall pick isn't going to make an NHL team, you wouldn't think, especially when he missed a good chunk of the year with the knee injury, right?
Barzal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, stranger things have happened, but that would be...
yeah.
That would be pretty
well,
and I mean the Islanders aren't a middling team, right?
They're not
a team looking for a poster boy. They've got
the view from the Barclays Center.
No,
it's terrible. It's as bad as you can expect.
Is it really?
Oh, it's brutal. Because it's the floor plan's weird. Like it's one of these off center rinks, and like
the only thing that I've seen out of the Barclays Center is and I hate to expose myself was a WWE pay per view.
You're not exposing yourself about that. We've already talked about WWE. Exposed. Did you see that I had a little tribute to you in the morning skate on Monday? Yeah, I thought you might like that. New day.
It was good.
That's fantastic. Okay. Rugby. Yeah. I mentioned the rugby. Japan beat South Africa.
Yes.
Now, for those who don't know, this is like, I mean, I had a discussion. You can listen on the Try and Tackle podcast with former Canadian international Glenn Ennis.
Okay.
Good friends of Dana G.
Yes.
Also husband to Global News anchor Lynn Collier.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Glenn turns out was one of the first overseas professionals to sign in Japan 20 some years ago. So he was a great guy to talk about. And of course, the coach of Japan is a guy named Andy Jones. And Glenn played for Eddie as well at the club that he played for in Tokyo.
Okay.
But in context, I mean, my analogy was that it was like the Utica Comets beating the LA Kings. It's like it doesn't really seem possible. You could imagine it maybe in some extreme reality happening.
Yes.
But it's not going to happen.
If you don't understand rugby, you don't understand
what that
is.
Yeah. Right. But the analogy that he said is, no, it's even more extreme. It's like Australia beating Team Canada. It's like the Australian hockey team beating Team Canada. It's that crazy.
Yeah.
Like that to me, I can't even conceive of that happening.
No.
But it's that crazy. Japan beating South Africa, it's one of the great all-time sports upsets. So I was curious what people thought of all-time sports upsets.
Yeah.
Now we've had a few suggestions, and do you have one off the top of your head before?
No.
So we had a few suggestions on the old tweet machine, and people sort of got where I was going. They already were saying, "Well, I can kind of see what you're going here. You're going to go with this Spain versus or not Spain, Japan versus South Africa." Yeah. But people did suggest, for instance, things like Denmark winning Euro 92. They didn't qualify for the tournament, but only got in because Yugoslavia, of course, was the beginning of the Civil War and couldn't put a team together. That was one. One person actually said Japan, South Africa, rugby doesn't have to be upset. Virginia Chaminade 1982 is close.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you know what that is?
No.
I don't either. Is that Is that like some? That must be some NCAA basketball.
But it sounded like ooh. I sounded like a good thing to ooh.
Nobody else can think of it. But my favorite one, mm-hmm. my favorite one, was from friend of Province Sports, PetBugs13 on Twitter.
Love PetBugs.
Who suggested Islanders 7, Canucks 3. Which I thought it made it go all full circle. Because that really was a ridiculous loss, wasn't it?
Yes, there was some shenanigans there.
Yeah, so you can't think of one. You can't favorite all time upset. I'm asking you too much. There's a chance to bring in some wrestling thing here for you. I know
I wasn't gonna go wrestling like no. that. But yeah, I don't know. It's
nothing like an upset though, really.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's got to be some sort of. There's been various 15s beat twos in the
yes.
in the final yeah. in the sweet in the
those in the NCAA, March Madness. Yeah, March Madness. So but the 15 beats two and then they lose their next game. Yes. So it's never really.
Yeah. You never get any traction out of it.
I was trying to find alternate examples, like biggest upsets, sports upsets. Like someone surely had done lists, but nobody really seems to have. You find NFL, like biggest NFL comebacks and things like that, of which there have been many.
Wasn't there a Bills Oilers comeback?
That was one that was, yeah, that one stood out. Yeah, that one, I've seen people mention that before.
It was like a 28-0.
It was something like that.
Yeah. And they came back and won.
Yeah. Anyway.
Was that oil? It was.
I can't remember. It was something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, then like Dan Marino and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Comeback City. I mean, I can think of the only other one I could think of was a Lions Alouettes game in. It's got, I'm trying to think when it would it be. It's got to be like 2001 mm-hmm. or 2000.
Yeah.
And the Lions came back from 30-some points
yeah.
in the fourth quarter. Action Jackson scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And this is like 36-year-old Alfred Jackson that after the third or fourth touchdown, he's sitting on the bench just sucking on the oxygen machine.
He's got the oxygen going.
It was an incredible, incredible game.
My favorite comeback, newest Mr. Sambelli, he's playing Brampton Excelsiors, Game 7, Man Cup. New West is up 1 goal with the ball with 15 seconds to play.
Right.
This is going to be their 25th Man Cup. People are already celebrating. Got the ball. All they got to do is kill off. I think it's 15.7 seconds, if I remember correctly. Guy with the ball who... I can't remember who it was. I can, but I'm not going to say. Decides to, instead of going forward towards the Brampton net, Brampton's pulled their goalie.
Right.
So I think it was like a 6-on-4 because I think New West had a penalty. And guy with the ball decides he's going to go, instead of going forward, he's going to go backwards behind his net. Gets forced out along the boards. With about, say, 5 seconds to go, hammered along the boards, ball pops out to a guy who hasn't scored a goal in like 3 years. He scores.
Okay.
With like less than a full second on the clock. Brampton gets 2 in overtime to win.
Oh my God. When was this?
2009.
Okay. That's incredible. You were there watching, like, covering the game kind of thing?
It was full on bananas.
Oh my God.
Jam-packed Queen's Park. It was one of the great sporting events I've ever... One of the greatest spectacles I've ever seen. Any sport, any...
Anything. That's fantastic.
It was... It was a bit of a...
The only other one now I think about it is similar era to the one I'm talking about. It's about... I think it's 2001. Canucks hosting the Leafs.
Yeah.
Played a terrible game.
Yeah.
Terrible game. But somehow came back in the last 10 minutes to tie a game after having trailed it 5-1.
Oh, jeez.
And they lost in overtime to who else? Steve Thomas.
Of course, Steve Thomas.
Right? 6-5 in overtime. It was just a crazy game. Yeah, it would have been, I think it was maybe 2001, 2002, something like that. Because mm-hmm. The thing was, I remember it was with the buddy. I went with my buddy named Orion. Yes, the Constellation.
Yes.
Yes, his parents were hippies.
Yes.
Are hippies.
Yes. Good for them. Not enough hippies in the world.
Ryan and I had this amazing sequence that began with us being at the McSorley Brashear game.
Okay.
And then I think the next game we went to was this crazy Leafs comeback. And then the third game we came to was the one where Chris Levesque almost went in the net.
Nice.
And that was like 1, 2, 3, like 3 years in a row, basically. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So, all right.
Full on shenanigans.
That's just good stories. All right. So are we having a special rebranding of Sunday Barbecue to who's going in your pool spa?
We'll definitely have.
You got a new pool. So those Steve has a new pool spa, or Steve's wife has a new pool spa.
Steve's wife has a new pool
spa. And the backyard.
Pool spa is like a hot tub on steroids with the current.
Which she wanted to put a tarp over so that it looked like you guys had a grow up going on or something. Since you live in New West and you're just trying to fit in.
There was full on shenanigans.
Are you inviting people over to the pool spa today? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, you go first. So
I'm going to invite Ayumu Goromaru. Who's the fullback for Japan. The reason why they were in that game.
Yes.
Fantastic player. Scored a try. Kicked 5 penalties. Best goal kicker in the world. He's a beauty. Japanese guy. I mean, this guy's on a high. Bring some sake with you. Get pretty loaded in that pool spa.
There you go.
Until Carol Ann kicks us out.
There you go. I'm going to invite WWE superstar Sting.
Oh.
Who could probably use a little time off after, I think he's 57? I know. After he
that's unbelievable. He's 57?
He's 57 in the paper. I think he's 57. If I read that correctly, the pay-per-view on Sunday suffered some sort of concussion injury.
That's an old age to be suffering concussion injuries.
That's an old he was picked up and thrown up against the turnbuckle and
wasn't ready, obviously.
Wasn't ready and kind of collapsed in the middle of the ring.
Oh.
So I think the guy needs some time off. I think he could use
a nice tea sitting by the pool spa, not in the pool spa.
I hope he's okay.
Get him some shade.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Jeez Louise.
That's
I saw people. I mean, I've got
enough
people like you who tweet about WWE that, when I turn my Twitter on Sunday afternoon or whenever it would be. Sunday evening, I guess.
Sunday
evening. Stuff like that's happening.
But that's, you shouldn't be doing that when you're 57. No. You hope he's...
Should go fishing.
You hope he's okay.
Jeez Louise. He's a big dude.
He's pretty... He looks great for 50. He looks...
Well, you're not sure, though.
I hope so, right? I mean, but...
And there's a lot of makeup going on there.
Yeah, he's still a big buff dude, though.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like, sort of presence. He looks good. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Steve, this has been Slice.
It's been a slice. Looking forward to my first Canucks morning skate of the year.
Absolutely. You enjoy yourself. I'm, of course, away for a month.
Nice.
So I'm back. The next time I'll be available for selection for the Casual Tuesdays with Steve will be October 27th.
So are we going to get a pinch hitter?
It's up to you. It's up to you.
Should we get J-Mac?
You and J-Mac could do it for sure. I think J-Mac was kind of talking about it because it's such a popular little routine we do here.
I think
you're going to have to guide him along, though.
I think J-Mac would be great for
him. He generally is. It's about keeping from being too long-winded, though.
You know that he's probably going to invite Mark Weaver to his barbecue, though.
Just invite him every week.
We'll only be in black.
Actually, what he might have to do is invite either Izzy or Maddie every other week.
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's just not fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, bud.
All right, thanks, Dave.